I think we about finished it up last week or week before last, whenever it was. I can't remember. But I'm going to read the whole chapter and get down to verse 18 where we stopped, I think. And but I like reading it. And like I said, it's to local churches. It's also it's admonition to churches. And it's also personally admonition and exhortation. Because it says, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. It's a personal application and personal admiration, exhortation. And prophetic, it's for future, for tribulation. And there's going to be seven churches in the tribulation that is addressed to. And so look here, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says, revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. He showed unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his seven to his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. He says, and John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh in with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds to the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. We know there's two parts of the second coming. This is the second part. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle which is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were as fine brass, as it burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me. That gets me when people say they're going to tell Jesus Christ a few things when they get there. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's going to be the other way around. They're going to be on their face crying out to God. And he says, I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I think fear not is 360 times in your Bible. And I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Thank God he does. And we talked about keys last time. We talked about how many different he gave the keys, the kingdom of heaven, to the disciples. And he says, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and things which shall be hereafter, and the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. And the seven stars are the seven angels, the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So that's finishing up chapter one. But he goes and he writes this thing, and it's chapter two and three. He's addressing it to the church on this earth. He's on this earth. But in chapter four, he gets caught up into heaven. And what he writes in chapter four, he writes from heaven. He writes it from heaven, what he's seeing. And then in chapter, go to chapter 11 real quick. Go over to chapter 11. And then he says, and he writes this thing from heaven. And then he goes back to the earth, and he writes down what he sees, and in chapter 11 on down. And there was given unto me a rod. He goes into the Jerusalem here, and he's in Jerusalem. So he's being transported from from the earth, the heaven, and he's in the spirit, and then he gets back to Jerusalem here. And he said, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles in the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power and so on. So he gets transported around, or whatever's happening, he's in heaven and everything's right before him, right there in front of him. And he's able to do it. And because everything down here has a representative there, everything. We have angels that represent the churches there, and they're on this. They also represent the churches on the earth. So you got all this stuff. It's all, like God sees everything right in front of him. It's all right there in front of him, and he sees everything. And but go back to chapter 2. Let's go back to chapter 2. And admonition he writes. And like I said, these are churches in the tribulation. It has three applications. It has historical, it has spiritual, and it has doctrinal. And this doctrinally is the churches in the tribulation. There's going to be seven churches in Asia. But spiritually speaking, these are ages on which the churches were, when they were, the Church of Ephesus went from about 33 AD or somewhere in there to 150 AD. So then you got the Church of Smyrna went from about 150 to 316, somewhere in there. And then you got the Church of Pergamos. It went from about 316 because of, you know, Rome. If you read about Rome, I'll tell you what, Rome was amazing when it came to their culture. They were amazing when it came to what they conquered the world and how they stayed in power that long. And they were amazing in that sense. They were demon-possessed, but they were full of the devil, but it was amazing how they stayed in power. And then Constantine in 313 AD says he became a Christian, so he said all persecution stops. But what she said, like he became a Catholic. Because Constantine took the cross. That's why you see all the movies of, you know, Robin Hood and everything. All the guys got the cross on their thing, and they think they're Christians. No, they're Catholic. And they worship Baal. They worshiped the Queen of Heaven, and they worshiped all that stuff. So Constantine said he was a Christian, but what they did, they incorporated a lot of different religions, and they brought it in and made it one. And that's why the Pope right now could go up and take a Quran, and he could take a Quran and say, we serve the same God. That's why the Pope can do that. He's not a Christian. When they're teaching now, the Catholic Church and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're all teaching them the lingo. Like when you ask somebody, are you saved? They'll say, I'm saved. And you say, how did you get saved? Well, I trusted Jesus Christ. They know the lingo now. So what you got to do now, they've gotten so slick that they know the lingo. You got to say to them, say, well, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? Tell me how you got saved. And they'll say, they know the lingo. They'll say, I accepted Jesus Christ. Well, how did you do that? You've got to pin them against the wall, because what happens is you'll think they're saved. You'll think they're all just like us, but they're not. They don't believe this Bible. Amen. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was the only way. They don't believe that he was God in the flesh. And they believe Mary is the mediator between God and man. That's what they believe. When the Bible says there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when you come to religion, man, religion has got more complicated when it comes to knowing the lingo. Jehovah's Witnesses, that's why they meet. They meet to say, they say, well, this guy said this to me. And they'll figure out ways, and they'll get their elders together and send their information, and they'll come back with how to answer that. And that's the way they do it. Now, we Christians, we assume that everybody knows how to answer. So we figure what happens is we don't really teach like they do when it comes to, they go through thoroughly through everything to teach them how to convince people. But we don't usually do that. We figure people reading their Bibles, they should know. But we need to teach that. Need to teach what soul winning. Need to teach how to deal with a person. I remember years ago when I went to Hiles, I went there and they said the best way to ask somebody if they're saved, say, if you were to die right now, where would you go? Amen. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Amen. And if they said, well, I don't know, then you say, that's probably a good sign you're not saved. Because what happens is religion tells them to say the things that, you know, are you saved? Yes, I am. How do you get saved? I accepted Jesus. They believe, the Catholics believe, you take the wafer, that's accepting Jesus Christ, if you take the wafer. Now, look what he says in the Church of Pergamos. Look what he says. in verse 13. And here the Lord's writing this down. And he says, this is after Constantine became so-called, says he's a Christian. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. This is after Constantine says he's a Christian. And thou holdest fast my name. Why? These people, they knew that they knew the real deal. They knew the real Christians here knew, they knew the real deal. They knew that wasn't Jesus Christ. And they're not a Christian organization. And when people say, you know, they belong to a Christian organization, man, you better check that out real good. Better check it out. And he says, and then look what that verse 13 says. He says, behold, thou fast my name, thou hast not denied that my faith, even in those days wherein Ampus was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So this thing is also, like I said, this doctrinally is tribulation. So you got the Roman Catholic Church. I believe this. I believe the Roman Church is going to be part of the Trinity of Satan. They're the part. They're the false prophet. The Pope is the false prophet. And the Antichrist is going to be a Syrian Jew. And people, years ago, people would laugh about that. I remember forgetting when I was in Bible school, a guy named Jerry Roy said to me, he said, you know, he said, everybody thinks the Roman Catholic Church is going to be the power. And he said, but you watch 20 years from now. He was right. Islam. And who would think that the world would bow to Islam? Who would have thought? Now, look at the Church of Thyatira. This goes from 500 to 1,000 A.D. 500 to 1,000. You got the Crusades around 1,000 A.D. You got the Crusades going on where they were trying to get control of Jerusalem. The Pope wanted Jerusalem. And he figured if I could get Jerusalem, I could convince the world. See, what they figure is what you got to do is just like in the public schools. You take God out and you take the Bible out and you wait one generation or two. And before long, there is no God. And what they do is they just wait a generation or two and they'll wait around and then they'll teach their lies. It's like they're trying to change the whole school system. It's funny how they say, if you're homeschooled, you're going to be stupid, you're going to be this, you know, all that stuff. And I've watched the spelling bees. I've sat there and tried to spell some of them words them kids are spelling. And I watched, and they're all homeschoolers. They're homeschooled. They're Asian, but they're homeschoolers. Every one of the kids that won, they're all Asian, man. And they won. But look at this, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to have to read this and then probably about stop. And you think about this. You think about this. This is the early church when the church first was founded, first started. Think about this. And now God had to drive the apostles and the people, Christians, out of Jerusalem because they hung around. And he told them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And what did they do? The apostles stayed right there and they got killed. And then Christians ran for their lives because of the persecution that was on them. You know, Rome was taking Christians. Folks, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, somebody was just telling me the other night, they were reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I said, it's amazing. It's amazing how cruel mankind can really be. You read about wars. You read about the suffering of wars and people killing the Japanese, what they did. They said a soldier that was captured in World War II, and he would rather go on to a German prison camp than a Japanese. Why? The Asian people are more cruel when it comes to dealing with human nature and humans. And when it comes to torture, they're more cruel. They'll torture you. They'll cut you. And I think it was in Japan or China. They said this torture of 1,000 cuts. They would peel somebody. They would hang them up like this and take a knife and just peel them. I mean, you're ripping your skin off your body. Japanese, Chinese, the Asian people. And guess what? When the Bible says the kings of the East are going to come against Jesus Christ, there's 200 million men coming against Jesus Christ. They're cruel people. And you read about those things that people suffered in war, but then you think about the concentration camps and about how Fox's Book of Martyrs in the Dark Ages and what they did to Christians because of Jesus Christ, for his name. And you and I, man, we're in America, thank God. I mean, America's on, man, we're on a downward slope, and God, we're praying, God, please. But man, we still got it made compared to what Christians went through. And like I said, you read the book of Acts, you read about what they went through, and they still praise God. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have a place to dwell. And man, they just praise God anyhow. We got more than we can eat, man. We got so much. Look at this. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Those seven golden candlesticks show up, the seven stars. And there's, we went through the thing about the seven sevens. I know thy works and thy labors, thy patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. So you still had the apostles thing. I mean, the apostles, it died out. These guys are claiming they're apostles now, they're liars. The apostleship, you had to be an apostle, you had to be with Jesus Christ and see him. You had to see him. Those disciples, you got these guys claiming they're apostles, they transferred down from John the Baptist. You had to be around Jesus Christ and see him die and then see him resurrect to be an apostle. And there's more than just 12 apostles in the Bible. There's like, I think, 14, 15 of them. More. Because Barnabas was called an apostle. Some of those men was around. They were at that time with Jesus Christ. But then you got a guy up here in Smyrna claims to Pastor Bull or Apostle Bull. And he's full of bull. And and they claim they're apostles. And you got, you know, these guys on TV. I think T.D. Jakes, I think he claims he's an apostle. If you're, you know, the proof of an apostle is to be able to raise the dead, heal the sick, with no misfires. No misfires. Take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, about apostles. 2 Corinthians, is it 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Is that it? That popped in my head. 2 Corinthians 12. 12, 12, there you go. Apostles had signs and wonders they could perform. And signs and wonders. And who requires a sign? Jews. The apostles were to the Jewish people. The apostles died out. They died out. It wasn't like it transferred down through seed of man. That died out. They had to be with Jesus Christ. And it says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Guess what the Antichrist is going to do? Guess what the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to deceive people and say, I'm God. He's going to end up saying he's God, but he's going to claim that he's got the apostleship. Signs and wonders. And Jesus said to the disciples, or to the Pharisees, they said, are you going to show us a sign? Because every prophet in the Bible showed up and said, this is going to be the sign. I thought about Isaiah. Man, Isaiah, the sign that he gave, there's going to be a virgin born, you know, Isaiah chapter 7. It didn't fulfill to, you know, a couple hundred years later. But he gave a sign. There's going to be a virgin born. If a guy's sign didn't come to pass, they killed him. Somebody find me that in Deuteronomy. If a guy's, when it talks about showing signs, and if he prophesies something and it doesn't happen, they kill him. I think it's in Deuteronomy. It might be. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the apostle had to have these signs and wonders, but it died out. And I've got it marked in, I think it's in Deuteronomy. If you can find it, somebody find it, just yell it out. Here it is. Chapter 13, Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer or of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder. Chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Look at it in verse 3. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. He says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proved you. So God allows the devil to have signs and wonders. And you say, how is the devil going to have it when the apostles had it? The devil, he'll have control. And right here, this is a guy telling, okay, he said, if a guy shows up and says, I got the signs and I got the wonders and we don't need to serve God of Jacob and God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, we can go after these other gods. He said, he's a liar. He said, God sent that to prove you. And that shows, that make, leads me to say this. God allows things in your life to prove you. The Bible tells us that. In Peter, it tells us that. He said he'll allow things to happen. How you treat each other, how you love one another, he allows stuff to happen in your life to check you out. So that's why you got to be careful what you do and say. Just don't shoot off your mouth and say stuff. Be careful what you say and pray about it. Pray before you open your mouth. And it says, verse 3, or 2, signs and wonders come to pass, whereof that he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve him, them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God prove you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk, and ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put the evil away from the midst of thee, and so on. And then he goes on. But see, whenever a guy shows up and says, I'm an apostle, I've been in meetings. I've been preaching funerals, and had to be, it was black funerals I was at. And I was preaching a black man's funeral, a black brother. I let him Lord. And he wanted me to do the funeral. So they had all these other bishops and everything there. And these guys claimed they're apostles. When they came up, they said, I'm apostle so-and-so. I said, oh, yeah. Good to meet you. I didn't argue with him and say, you liar. I didn't say it. I just said, oh, yeah. So I just got him preached. Well, look at this. He says, this church here, Church of Ephesus, in the beginning, he said, you don't like them that are evil. I don't either. He says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven star. I'm going to go down. Look, it says, verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be what?
Liars.
It's just like these guys going around saying they're Vietnam vets so they can get money. And they can get people patting them on the back saying, thank you for your service. And they weren't even in the war. They weren't even in the army. They weren't even near it. Matter of fact, they ran. And defects. So this church here checks people out. And you got to check it out. You just don't take it for face value. Check them out. Right. And these guys on TV saying they're apostles. And Benny Hinn claims he's an apostle. So then you say, what does the apostle do? Benny Hinn shows you. Pat, smack them down. The guys, you know. You never found that in the Bible. You don't find Jesus walking up saying, okay, I'm going to be healing you. Pat, and the guy goes, oh, it reminds me of Ernest going to camp or something. Stupid. You know, they. Who was it? Barnum Bailey Circus. He said, a sucker's born every minute. And what it is, you got these suckers that believe that stuff, and they slap them down, they fall on the floor. I went to a church where they're doing that stuff. They're slapping people down, they fall on the floor, and they're rolling around. My dad used to crack. I used to think my dad was a liar, man. And my dad said, I used to go to them churches. He said, because the women didn't know what was going on. So he said, man, we rolled all over the floor. He said, I was kissing them and all kinds of things. He made me laugh, but he was crazy. My father went to these churches. He said, when they pulled the snakes out, he said, I was gone. He said, when they pulled the snakes out. And then, see, that's another thing. You got people in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Michael Shane is getting ready to go to Kentucky. You got folks in Kentucky and all that trying to prove they got the power in their life. Yeah, still legal. So they pull the snakes out. And they have the, I'm talking about real snakes, brother. And I'll tell you what, you brought some snakes out in here, everybody vacate tonight. But that down there, they've been taught this guy's an apostle, or he's got the power of God, and he's speaking in tongues. And if you ever watched the documentary on that stuff, like my sister said, they went to that church and they're speaking in tongues, they get into a trance. It's a satanic trance. and they hold that snake, and they got rock music going on, and they're dancing around, they're holding the snake. Good Lord, I watched the documentary, and the guy says, in the last part of the scene was the guy says, the snake knows I'm of God, and the snake goes, and bites him. They won't go, you know what? A lot of them died. A lot of them. Oh, anyway. You know what the suckers do? You know what some of them preachers did? So they get used to the venom. They would have a little bite, get a snake to bite them, and through the years, as a kid growing up, they get a snake to bite them, and so they could build up an immune system to it. They're deceivers. And the Church of Ephesus, God says, I like you. I like what you believe. But he says, I've got something against you. And you don't want the Lord. That's one of the scariest things you think about. Have the Lord say, you know what? You did good, but I got something against you. And when the Lord says that, you ain't going to say, well, who do you think you are? You ain't going to do that. My little grandson, Ruthie, called me today. She said, they were going to doctors, and he said, Reese was in the back seat. And he said, Pop-Pop came to me, and he was all happy. And she said, what? She looked. She said, what do you mean Pop-Pop came to you, and he was all happy? She said, you dreamed that. No, Pop-Pop came to me. He was all happy. I think maybe he knows something. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's getting ready to take me home. you can't trust in dreams. He had a dream. Because I'm not happy. No, I'm kidding. We have to stop there. We got to stop. I am happy. I'm happy I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in the bathroom this morning reading my Bible. My other grandson comes to the door. Rachel pulls up. He's knocking on the door. I'm in there reading my Bible. That's where I get peace and quiet. It's comfortable in there. So I'm in there reading my Bible. He knocks on the door. I said, yes, son. He said, I got something to tell you, Papa. I said, what's that? And Rachel said, well, come, you coming out? I said, no. Tell me through the door. He said, I got saved last night.
Amen.
That was Gavin. So we go out here and get dirt today, and a dirt guy at Ken's place, I gave my testimony to him yesterday. He gave his testimony to me today. I mean, he's sitting up in a excavator. I'm sitting in the dump truck. After he gave his testimony, I said, Gavin, tell him what happened to you. Gavin leans up. He's real shy. He didn't never say anything. But he leaned out, and he says, I got saved. And the guy goes, praise the Lord, son. That gave him encouragement. Amen. Let's take a prayer request real quick. Somebody?